This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. It was almost closing time that day in November 1930 at the Claremont Post Office in Weston-super-Mare. Edith Cook was looking forward to a sit-down. She had one eye on the clock as she processed postal orders and placed parcels on the scales, but no matter how quickly she worked, the queue didn't seem to be getting any shorter. When the bell over the door tinkled once more, her heart sank a little. But when she looked up from her folder of stamps, her heart nearly turned over. Propped in the doorway, barely able to stand, was a man. His skin was a vivid white. His nose and cheeks were flecked with blue. His eyes were dark, almost dead. He was absolutely soaking wet from head to foot, and he had nothing on his feet. Edith's mouth dropped open. As the queue turned to see what had alarmed her, the man in the doorway tried to say something, but couldn't. Instead, he lifted his hand, pointed soundlessly to his open mouth, and sank to the floor. Imagine experiencing a shipwreck. The chaos, the noise, the fear. Imagine surviving a shipwreck. Now imagine being the only survivor of a shipwreck. Of all the people on board, the captain, the crew, the passengers, from first-time sailors to the crustiest old sea dog, somehow, out of all of them, it's you that makes it. Just you. Plucked from the sea by a lifeboat or a passing vessel, or clinging on to some floating debris and drifting ashore, the sea chooses to give you up, but keep everyone else. Imagine how that feels. The wondering. Why you? Of everyone on board, why you? What fluke of the tide? What long odds of reaching a thrown rope and hanging on? Or heaving your weight onto a piece of timber? Or feeling hands under your arms pulling you from the water? What was it that dictated you survived, but nobody else? You'd remember all those faces, the conversations, even the people you'd barely noticed on board. You'd try not to forget any of them, not one single face. For the rest of your life, you'd hear the gurgling of the water as it swallowed the vessel, the roar of the wind, the screams, the cries, the heads sinking beneath the surface for the last time, spending the rest of your life weighed down by one question. Why? Edith Cook helped the man through to the back parlour and into a chair beside the fire. He was barely conscious. She rubbed his frozen, swollen hands in hers, felt the salt on his skin. Someone handed her a blanket and she draped it over him. Arranged it so it covered as much of the man as possible, especially his feet, swollen, grazed, a salt crust formed on the sores. When she bent close to his face, she could see, despite the waxiness and the salt and the broken blood vessels, that he was just a young man, practically a boy. His breathing was short, laboured, shivering. She sent someone to fetch the doctor. Somewhere a kettle whistled, then a cup of coffee appeared. She blew on the surface to cool it, then gently placed it against the man's swollen lips. He stirred slightly, opened his eyes, blinked. Again, the hand came up to his mouth, pointing. This time his other hand rubbed feebly at his stomach. She got up and ran to the kitchen and boiled him some eggs. When the doctor arrived, the man had revived a little, and Edith realised he was French. Through gesture and sign language, they deduced that his ship had gone down. Everyone had been thrown into the sea, and he'd swum ashore. When he'd gathered enough strength, he was able to write his name on a piece of paper. Pierre Henou, he wrote in spidery, shaky letters. Then the number 19. He was 19 years old. He was taken to hospital in the back of a local tradesman's van where, as soon as he was put to bed, he fell into a deep sleep. That morning, the wreck of a two-masted schooner had been spotted on a sandbank near Flat Holm, 4 miles from the Welsh coast. "We think she must have run on the sands at half tide yesterday," said John Hannigan, a volunteer lookout at Penarth. "The vessel must have been there for at least 8 hours in dangerous seas. It's impossible for anyone on board to be alive now." "By the time we saw it, there was no use even sending the lifeboat." "We heard no distress signals, nothing to attract our attention." Later in the day, a lifebuoy washed ashore at Barry Island with a waterproof pouch tied to it. Inside were the papers of the Commandant Marchand, crew of 6, en route from southern Brittany to Cardiff with a cargo of timber. It must be the wreck spotted earlier near Flat Holm. No survivors, it seemed. When Pierre Henou woke the next day, he was able to tell his story. He was 19 years old, married, from Carnac on the south coast of Brittany. He was a crew member on the Commandant Marchand that had sailed from Trinity-sur-Mer a week earlier, heading for Cardiff. They were in the Bristol Channel when the wind blew up and the ship found itself swamped by heavy seas. For a day the crew battled the elements until, at around 9 o'clock on the Sunday night, they felt the vessel strike something and immediately begin to break apart. Within half an hour everything was over. Pierre and 2 crewmates, he called Blevec and Guillou, used the roof of the wheelhouse as a raft. After a few hours, Blevec lost consciousness and slipped into the sea. Neither Hernou nor Guillot could do anything. Releasing their grip on the makeshift raft would be the end of them too. Not long before dawn, Hernou watched helplessly as Guillot's strength gave out and he, too, slipped into the water. Hernou, alone now, clung on, trying desperately to stay awake. The darkness, the spray and the steepling waves meant he had no idea where he was or where he was going. He could have been heading straight for shore. He could have been drifting back out towards the Irish Sea. He hoped for rescue, but prepared for the end. As much as anyone can prepare to drown. He abandoned himself to the current. Cold, hungry, terrified, until it started to grow dark again. As the sun began to set, he saw land. He summoned what little energy he had left, kicked as hard as he could, and washed onto the rocks at Anchor Head. He'd been in the water for 22 hours. Somehow he hauled himself up a flight of steps and saw the light on at the post office. "They were very kind to me there," he said, "and gave me nourishment." Pierre Henou spent 3 days and nights at the Weston-super-Mare General Hospital. He was overwhelmed by the kindness of the staff and the people of the town, who sent clothes and gifts. When he'd recovered, he was escorted to the railway station, took a train to Cardiff, and found passage on a ship to take him home, back to his wife. We don't know what became of him after that. We can only imagine the tears when he saw his wife again. Presumably he went back to sea. It was about the only way to make a living on that stretch of the Breton coast. Maybe he felt lucky. Maybe he felt guilty. Maybe he felt he was living the lives of his 5 crewmates as well as his own. The men who set out from their home port one day, but only he came home. Maybe he saw their faces every time he closed his eyes. Maybe the memory faded over time. Coastal communities are familiar with disaster, but you never get used to it. Imagine the people whispering in the street as he passed. That's Henou, the one who came back. The only one who came back. Imagine being Pierre Henou. Imagine being the sole survivor. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. We'll have another story of a sole survivor next week, as I think it's just a fascinating subject. Here's a date for your diary. September the 16th, 6:30 in the evening. I'll be at Waterstones Bookshop in Canterbury telling shipping forecast stories from Attentional Shipping and English Channel stories from The Channel. I'll be signing copies too if you want your book defaced. Tickets are a fiver. I'll post a link in the notes accompanying this episode. These waves were recorded at Deal on the muggy afternoon of June the 17th, 2021.